But you can't open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 78. And we're going to look at a major portion of the psalm, but we'll get through it quickly. I know it'll be maybe more verses than we would normally look at on a Sunday evening. But, you know, there are many times in life that we're truly in need. And it can be a lot of different things. It can be a physical need, a health need. It can be a financial need. It can be an emotional need. There's all kinds of things that we need in our lives, over our lives. And we come to those times, and they can be really difficult. They can be hard. They can put our faith to the test. And frankly, that's the point. God allows these things in our lives to help us grow our faith. And as we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, and we look at the children of Israel as they wander in the wilderness, think about that, keep that mulling in the back of your mind, that trials are here to grow our faith. And let's see how they dealt with it, and we'll see how we deal with it. We wonder sometimes when the trials come, how are we going to make it through? What can I do to change this? What can I do to get me out of this mess that I'm in? I may have made it, maybe I didn't make it, but here I am, and I'm struggling, and I'm hurting. What can I do? Often, most of the time, there's nothing we can do but look to God. And tonight, the Israelites, who, as we look down through history, had the greatest opportunities, plural, to look to God. Literally, his chosen people that he was moving in and throughout their lives in this part of their national history, like no other time. And we're going to see tonight how they chose to deal with that. In verse 19 of this passage, we can see they ask the question, and we're going to see some verses before this and some after. But it says, "Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" When we ask the question, beginning with the words, "Can God?" the answer is always, yes, he can. But we lose track of that when we're the one that's hurting. When we're the one going through the trial, that doesn't jump into our mind. We would say at the drop of a hat, yes, absolutely, God can. But in the moment, it's hard to live that out. Can God supply all the needs that I have? Does he understand how much this hurts? Think of the song, "Does Jesus Care?" When my heart is pained too deeply from mirth and song. I'm not going to keep quoting because I will mess it up. I did good to get that far. But we think about that song. It's a powerful song. Yes, he cares. I know he cares. When we really get down to it and we see our faith come through, he does care. He does know we're going through it. He does know how much it hurts. He does know how much we need that money. He does know how much we need the healing, physically, emotionally, spiritually. He is there and he knows. How did this impact the children of Israel as they left Egypt? Let's start in verse 12, and we'll read a few verses, and then we'll start commenting along the way. The Bible says, "Marvelous things did he," that's God, "in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led with a cloud, and at night with a light of fire. He clave rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lusts. Yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed, and he gave and did give bread also. Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, and fire was kindled against Jacob. And anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. We could go on reading the next several verses as well, and we can see that the Israelites, they ask God for this, and he gives it, and it's not enough. And they ask God for more, and he gives it, and it's not enough. And God, can't you give us this and that and this and that? And they've forgotten in just such a short period of time that God just rescued them from slavery. God is bringing them along to a land that will be their own. Promised of flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be amazing. But God, this, the way we're going. I mean, I know you wanted us to do this, but it's so hard. We're thirsty. Here's water. God, we're hungry. Here's manna, men to eat. Angels' food, it says in these verses. We don't have any meat. God rained quail down around amongst them. They didn't even have to go hunt it down. They could just about put a pot out the tent flap and let one fall in. You didn't have to go outside all the way. That's pretty amazing. We kind of have that today, right? You can have your groceries delivered right to the house. But in all of that, what did it say? They provoked God. In all of that, they chose to sin. Folks, we've been freed from the slave market of sin. And we're on our way, promised a place flowing with milk and honey. But we have this trip in between. God wants us to take the route he has planned for our lives, but we often aren't satisfied with what God's brought us to. And we grumble and we complain. God, what are you doing in my life? Do I deserve this? Why is this happening to me? Number one, I want us to see the location of his provision. Where did it happen? It happened in the wilderness for them. It happens in our place of need. God doesn't always provide for us ahead of time. God doesn't always know, hey, there's going to be a medical bill in a couple of years. I'm going to make sure you get plenty of overtime at work over the next year and a half, so that when that medical bill comes due, you'll have the money. Maybe he would do that. Anybody have a medical bill, something happened, and all of a sudden there's a few thousand dollars owed that you don't have? Is God still good? He is. Can God furnish that table in your wilderness? He can. Not only can he help you with the medical issue, but he can help you pay for it. Does God bring along people to help? He sure does. Can I give you a for instance? Some of you may have heard me tell the story before, but when the twins were born, they were 33 and a half weeks. They're both back there looking at each other. I can't believe he's talking about us. They were 33 and a half weeks. They were 3 pounds three and 3 pounds seven. You could hold their little head in your hand and their legs barely made it to your elbow. They were perfect. They were healthy. They just needed to grow a little bit, put on some weight, and we could bring them home. But that was, I think, 13 days in the NICU. Can I tell you that even 14 years ago, the NICU was not cheap? Can't believe it's been 14 years. I had no idea things could cost that much. And we kept getting statements from the hospital in the mail. It became nearly daily for a while. You ever want to get discouraged real quick? Get bills for the same thing in the mail over and over and over and over again. We had insurance, and it was going to cover its part. But I remember sitting at home with Christina, and we had that pile of bills. And it totaled just shy of $250,000. And I said, Lord, I will never see money like this in my whole life. So we began to pray. We put those bills, remember we spread them out on our apartment floor. And we prayed, Lord, we owe this money. There's only two things that can happen. Either you can give us the money or you can take away the bills. That's the only options. Because I can't pay for them. A lifetime of overtime can't pay for them. And someone at the hospital mentioned to us that they have a financial assistance program. They said it's a lot of paperwork and it's so much bother. A lot of people don't do it, but you're welcome to file for it. I said, Lord, if this is you, we're going for it. By the time we filled out all the paperwork, she did not lie. They knew more about me than I could remember myself. I mean, down to the penny, they knew how much money I had. If it was in my pockets, they knew about it. And we kept praying, Lord, either take the bills away or give us the money. And we thought this financial assistance, it's just assistance, right? It's going to help. Anything will help. God opened the door. We're going to walk through it. And I'll never forget the day we got a letter in the mail. It still gets me. This is how big God can be. This is how well he can furnish a table. The letter was from that office. And it said, as of the date of this letter, your bill has been marked paid in full. And not one red penny left my pocket to pay those bills, but God paid those bills for us. His provision. If we went around this room, I'm sure countless others, we could spend all night telling stories how God provided. Here and there, big and small. He will do it. When an obstacle comes in our lives, when a trial comes, it is an opportunity for us to see just how big God is. We can't look at it like this is just going to wear me out. I can't do this anymore. God, where are you? He's there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't moved. We have to. The location of his provision is in the trial. He doesn't always get us ready ahead of time. He wants to see us grow. He wants to see our faith become stronger. Because frankly, there's another trial coming, more than likely. Are we going to be ready for that? When we haven't been able to get through this one? Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need. I love that the verse doesn't stop there, but it says according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When that letter came saying this was marked paid in full, you should have heard the hollering in my house. I couldn't believe it. God's amazing. He's always amazing, whatever our circumstances may be. Not only the location of his provision, but secondly, the length of his provision. We could look back in the book of Deuteronomy and see some verses for this. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all thy works, the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years, and the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. If you ask the children of Israel, would they have said, we lack nothing? Probably not, with the way that they complained. Chapter 29 of Deuteronomy verses 5 and 6 say this, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. You have not eaten bread, nor have neither of you drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. Nothing happened to them in the wilderness that wasn't God saying, see who I am for you. It was all on purpose. God wanted them to grow and love him more. How many of us, if we put ourselves in their place with 400 years of slavery, generation after generation, would say that God is still with us? It would be hard, wouldn't it? Would it be hard to believe that God is taking care of us when now, after Moses tried to get us out, everything's just gotten worse? Because Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Not only do we need to make the bricks, we got to get our own straw for the bricks. Things are bad. God, are you here? God gets them out in all of those miraculous ways. And he gets them into the wilderness. God, can you feed us? Can you give us to drink? I can, and I will. Here it is. It says that they sinned against God. In all that, how many of you with me find the children of Israel hard-headed? Yeah. Looking inwardly, how many of us would raise our hand and say, I'm just as hard-headed? We can be. And we look at the children of Israel and say, they could have had it all so easy if they would have just listened to God. Can you believe them? We could have had it all so much easier if we would just listen to God. Look at us. God wants to provide for you. He wants to provide for me in ways that we don't even know. He wants to open those windows of heaven and pour down his blessings like honey. He gets us through the trial. Matthew chapter 6. Let me turn there quickly. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28 and a couple following say this. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? That cuts deep, doesn't it? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye need of these things. God knows. God knows. He knew before we were born the things that we would need our whole life. And he's there ready to provide them so that he can show himself strong in our lives. But so many times we, like the children of Israel, number three, see the limitation of his provision. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 78. And we're going to look a few verses later. And I want us to see a couple other things, and then we're going to wrap it all right up. Verse 30 says, they were not estranged from their lust, but while meat was yet in their mouths, wow, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this, they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him. They returned and inquired early after God, and they remembered that God was their rock and their high God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he being full of compassion, isn't that our God? But he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. And that brings us back to right where we started. All the things that they had seen, and we could take the time to list them all from the 10 plagues all the way up until this part of their history. In the last 40 years, God had done the unimaginable for them. Things that have not been done since and were never done before. And still, they chose to sin. They chose to forsake all of that that God had done for them. Why? It's just easier to let me be me. It says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. In other words, God would have done the more for them, but because of their poor choices, they limited God's blessing on their life. Listen, when we choose to do wrong, God can't say, "Here are all my blessings." When a child disobeys his parents, does he get to hit the candy jar? Does he get to go out for ice cream? What happens? Chastening. You can't reward the disobedient child in your household, and God can't reward the disobedient child in us. We limit him because of our choices. God may be ready to pour out all the provision you need for all the things that you're facing in your life right at this moment, but because you're angry at God for bringing you to where you are, it can't happen. God wants to care for us. I mentioned a way God's cared for us financially and brought us through that. But God has been an amazing God to my family in the last several years and some other ways. God is there for us in whatever way we need him. After years of praying and four girls, God decided to give us a son. And we were so excited. And we were going to appointments and we had an ultrasound. And during that ultrasound, the technician excused herself from the room and said, "I'll be right back." Never happened with any of our other pregnancies. And Christine and I looked at each other with worry in our eyes. And all I could do was shrug. "I don't know." And she was gone for what seemed like an eternity. I'm sure it was 3 minutes. And the doctor was there. And they said, "We see something that doesn't look normal." And my heart sank. Lord, we've prayed. Lord, it's fine. It'll be fine. I tried to reassure myself. It'll be fine. If we have a child that has an issue, that's okay. You'll take care of that too. I was trying, but I was trying to convince myself that I would be able to make it. And as things progressed and we had more, things weren't getting better. We went on a family vacation, and during it, Christina said, it's been a couple of days since I felt Matthew move. I said, well, let's call and get an appointment set up for as soon as we get home. We got home and we went to that appointment. And at 30 plus weeks, our boy Matthew slipped into eternity. And I never got to see a smile on his face. I did get to hold him, see him born by C-section, delivered rather. And not in the wrong way, but in my heart, I was asking God, why, Lord? Not in anger, but in truly wanting to know, Lord, why, after so much prayer and desire, what we felt was a desire of our heart to have a son, why would you bring us so close? In all of that, after so many weeks, a child, there are remains that need to be dealt with. And we had to have a funeral service with a casket this big. Can I tell you, on the financial front, God supplied all of that too. A place, a funeral home that did everything and took care of all the costs. This morning, a song was sang, and Pastor Dan made mention of where that song came from in Scripture, and it was Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And the three Hebrew boys getting ready to be thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, our God can save us from this, but if not, let it be known this day, O King, we will worship the Lord. That became our verse. As we were dealing with all the struggle leading up to it, Lord, you can deal with this, but if not, we're going to be okay because you are who you are. It's one of the hardest things that I've had to go through in my lifetime so far. But God was always right there. Why did God do that? I still don't know. And I've come to realize I don't need to know. I don't need to know right now, but one day, I hope to be able to be help to people that may have to deal the same. I hope I can love them and be there for them if they need it. We try and determine in our house, and we try to teach our kids that when God is bringing us through things, it's a chance to grow closer to Him or further away from Him, and you have to pick. And it's hard. It's hard to say, God, I know you have a reason for this. God, I know this has a purpose, and I trust you. It's easy to say it out loud to you right now tonight, but when you're dealing with it, it's hard. There's people all around this auditorium that know exactly what I'm talking about. And there are times that we win, and there are times that we fail. But let's please not limit God's blessing in our lives, His provision for us because of our attitude and our choices while we're going through a trial. Don't shoot ourselves in the foot while we're already hurting. Do you need to be hurting and further away from God, or hurting and closer to God than you've ever been in your whole life? That's available to us when we're going through a trial. In the verses following, we find that their grumbling became guile. They called God out. Can't believe you brought us out here. We didn't have it so bad in Egypt. We had leeks and onions, at least, and God had given them so much already. Their faith became fruitless. Going through the motions, that's easy to do when you're hurting, when you're dealing with a trial, when all you can think of is that thing You come to church and you're here, but you're not absorbing, and you sit quietly when you're normally talking to folks, and it just eats at you and eats at you and eats at you all the time. Don't become fruitless. Their memories became murky. They forgot all the things that God had done for them. When David was being confronted by the prophet Nathan, and he was speaking, the prophet was speaking for God, he reminded David about the lion and the bear. He reminded David about Goliath. He reminded David about being made king. And he said, if that were not enough, I would have given you the such and such things. That's a powerful phrase. God was saying to David, as good as your life has been, it would have been even better if you would have let me give you what I wanted to give you. But because of this great sin, I couldn't do it. And then he doesn't even tell David what it could have been. He just says, such and such things. It was so good, I can't even tell you about it. Because you're missing out. The such and such things. Are we missing out on such and such things? Like the children of Israel did? Are we limiting God? Their prayers became provocation. Two or three times in this passage it says that they provoked God. When they spoke to him, it was not in love. It was not in sorrow for their sin. It says that they lied to God and tried to. Oh, Lord, please help us. We repent. They didn't repent. They just wanted out of the situation. After our trial with Matthew, God blessed us with Simon. And I'm here to tell you tonight, he is a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner. And he knows how to manipulate you with the cuteness. I know he seems super cute and such a good child who lays in the nursery. Oh, he does such a good, so good tonight. Let me tell you. He has a long way to go. And unfortunately, I see so much of myself in him. Because the way he acts with his father is so many of the ways that I act with my father. And he can't have this or that. Yesterday, he was playing with a truck, zooming all over. It's big enough where he leans over and just runs it all over the floor. About this big. And I asked him to put the truck away and do something. And he picked the truck up and he looked at my face and yelled, "No!" And he threw the truck on the floor. So after he was handled, his truck became my truck. And I put it up where he can't reach. He couldn't have the truck. He loves that truck. He zooms all over the house with that truck, and it makes all kind of noises and flashy lights, and I hate that truck. But I couldn't just say, "Never mind, whatever you want, son." Because that wouldn't teach him anything. And when we go off and do what we want, God can't look down and say, "Go ahead, son. Do whatever you want." We are his child. He is responsible to correct us as we are responsible to correct our children. All the amazing opportunities the Israelites had, and so much of it was squandered. And again, we look at them and we just see the foolishness because we're looking back, reading it in a passage of Scripture. But if we look at our lives, it's very much the same. So tonight, as there may be many of us in this room facing a trial, in the middle of a trial, hoping we're at the end of a trial. Don't limit God because of your attitude and choices during a trial. Use it as an opportunity to see how big God is going to act in your family's life. Every time we've seen God provide for our family, and I told you maybe two and a half stories tonight. I could go on. When God supplies something big, we make it a big deal at our house. Because it's important for our kids to know, folks, that when God does something big, don't hide that from anybody. Let somebody know about that. And it should start with your family, your kids. Look at what God did for us because He loves us so much. He's taking care of us when we cannot. It's a big deal for God to step down and take interest in our personal life. It's not a big deal for Him. He loves to do it. But it's a big deal on our end. If you're going through that trial tonight, know that God is there with you. And know that He will be there to see you through it all the way. And don't limit what He can do for you and how much you can grow closer to Him because of your choices. Help us, Lord, help us all to be careful and be thankful for your provision. Can God set the table? Yes, my friends. Yes, He can. And He will, and He does.